Between the dates of March 17th and August 9th, 2023, Swifties across the globe put their heads down and moved their thumbs at the speed of light to search the web high and low for live streams of the Eras Tour. Also, they could watch what Taylor Swift was going to do next. Between the anticipation of surprise songs, the scolding of security guards, and the prayers of album release announcements, the Swifties were all too unwell during these 6 months as they neglected all other responsibilities in their lives and dedicated their time to a greater cause. Two Swiftie friends in particular were so delusional, so unhinged, so distant from their actual realities that they decided to record their experiences during this time in the hopes that it would bring clarity and healing. Life was challenging for these two as they juggled jobs, families, and homes, all while making sure they never missed a moment of Taylor Swift news. Together, they made their way through it and onto the other side. These are their stories.
Okay, guys, it's Mac. Sarah, say hi.
Hello.
Okay, guys, what you're about to hear is a very highly, highly, highly edited episode. Actually,
listen, like, this is our podcast and these are our rules, and we get to only share with you guys what we want.
Actually, it's two episodes. The first episode, the first recording is our very, very first recording. Very green, I would say. We were trying to explain why we're making this pod. It was Sarah and I bonding, reliving our story of how we met, how our spouses met. And as I was listening to that recording, I realized, ooh, we need to mash this up with another recording we made, which was a regrettable recording from October of this year.
October of last year, 2023.
That recording was made from three very drunk individuals and one sober champion, my wife, who was pregnant. While listening to that recording, there were some good gems. You can tell why we are Swifties and why we love talking about Taylor Swift, but it needed to be edited. And so I'm making this addendum to say it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it needs to be heard. And Sarah fought me. Sarah was basically Big Machine Records, and I was Taylor Swift. This is my 1989 pop album, and I fought for this episode. And everyone here who's listening is welcome. Sarah, yeah. Your thoughts?
I really, really, really did not want to. Like, we finished recording this episode together, and I was like, okay, well, that's never seeing the light of day. Because just what Max said, like, we were all, and I feel like we should clarify, like, when we're editing this stuff, it's like, it's not because of anything like bad or wrong. Like, I had to explain earlier that, like, I use somebody's first and last name when I really should not have been, like, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. This is because like, we were like full blown screaming at each other.
Yeah.
And I, to this day, have not listened to the OG. I can't. I refuse. Even listening to the edited version made me want to, like, crawl out of my skin and into a cave.
My favorite part was you were texting me, Mac, you need to edit this out. You need to edit this out. And I was like, Sarah, you need to listen to the original version. Like, that this is tame. This is us being nice to each other. What was in the original version was actually... we should be in therapy for what was in the original version.
The four of us, we should be in therapy for a lot of reasons. The four of us are dear friends, but like, I don't know. There's just like something about like when we talk about Taylor, like we are all like, we just have such different opinions. Well, we're dear friends and we're half of us are all spouses. It's just like, like we just all have like really, really like opinionated thoughts about certain Taylor stuff. And it's like, it's just like so hard to like have the people you love most in the world not agree with you. I have to say, I believe I was the reason I'm so cringe is because I was the worst offender on this.
Oh, you were screaming.
I was screaming. again, this was after like a day in Napa. And so there was like a lot of wine had been consumed and we all hadn't been together in like years. So there was just like a lot of emotions, but like I was literally screaming. Mac told me that I shouldn't be making a formal apology on this, but like I have to apologize to Jackie, Mac's wife, and one of my best friends. I literally screamed at her. It's just like what you are about to hear is not my best, okay? And I know that.
Actually, what you're about to hear is your best because we took it out.
Oh, God.
You know who does come out on top? Jackie. Jackie comes out like a queen.
I know.
She's coherent. She's making logical arguments. I actually... Mm-hmm.
She's like calm. It's also, I do just like one other thing. Like basically until we start screaming at each other, it's also like really quiet. Because like, again, guys, like...
The technology.
We're just like on a journey with technology. We are elder millennials. Like, we're just like, we are really figuring it out. So, like, it's going to be really, really quiet. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to start screaming and you'll be able to hear it all.
Oh my gosh. It was very fun to record. I will say, I have nothing else to say. Just, you have to listen to it.
Yeah. This is why
this is just why we made the podcast. This episode is why we're here. This episode describes the journey that we are on.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing that I'll say is that I just hope that you guys stick with me after this one. And just know that I know it's bad.
All right. Well, with that, I hope you enjoy it. And yeah, whatever.
Good luck.
Let's start with how we know each other and why we're finally making this pod.
Okay. So you and I know each other because we are each in love with two, I would say, soulmates.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So Mac... Mac's wife is a wonderful, lovely person named Jackie, and my husband is an equally lovely person named Adam, and the two of them are soulmates.
Yes, yes. Soulmates from Penn State to LA.
And they were matched up as like roommates, and it was just like one of those magical, just like we were meant to meet. And then they stayed friends, and then they married Mac and I, and then Mac and I realized in a way we were soulmates.
We had I would say all four of us have a shared love for Taylor Swift, but yes. only two of us have a real passion for like dissecting everything Taylor's doing and what the fandom is doing and why we're all so fucking like unwell. Like I think we're the ones who like discussing it. They kind of just like listening to the music.
One time. Okay. So like, okay. When Adam and I got engaged, Jackie and Mac were already married, and after we got engaged, we all went to see Taylor Swift front row at the Reputation tour. It was like a life-changing moment. It was amazing. And I feel like that just like solidified our friendship in like Swifty fandom.
It will never be the same. It has never been the same since then. That was a life-changing moment.
Yeah. For us. And then I do something that I think back to often is one time the four of us got into a screaming match in the middle of Goths, which is like a very like regional specific like restaurant.
Yeah, it's a Bay Area. It's a burger joint. Yes.
About what is a better song, Blank Space or Style? And we were like, tears were involved, and we were screaming at each other.
And
then we had to leave.
What's funny? We were also a little drunk. That we should say that. What's funny about that now is I'm on the opposite side of whatever I was screaming about back then. Like now, when I think of for full disclosure, I was appalled that Adam would think that Style was a better song than Blank Space. I didn't understand it.
You were just appalled. You were offended.
Yes, I was. It was dramatic, as dramatic as it sounds. But then I want to say, even after watching Reputation Stadium Tour, I was still like, no, Blank Space is better. The Eras Tour radicalized me on Style. I had a whole new appreciation for Style after watching her perform it live at the Eras Tour.
Performed it live at Rep.
She did, and she performed it in front of our faces. Like she was right there.
We were front row. You all will learn that Matt cannot control himself when it comes to purchasing Taylor like tickets, merch, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fine. I guess we should probably get to then, like, what is our Swiftie origin story, because it gets to my like spending habits at that
okay,
point.
Okay, so, but I do have to say, can I make one more comment about Blank Space versus Style?
You're right. Yes.
It's not that Blank Space is a better song. Like, Style is amazing. Style does something emotionally to all of us. But Blank Space is the story of Taylor Swift. It is like her truth. It is the perspective from the public, from the media. It is the story of Taylor, and it is the first time that she broke the fourth wall with us. And that is what makes it so iconic and unbeatable.
You know, I don't have as deep as feelings as you do. I just like the beat, you know?
We can move on.
I want to hear your Swiftie origin story. Like, how did you become a Swiftie? Mm-hmm, like, let's just get into it, because we're going to have to cover that at some point.
Okay. So I was a Swiftie from day one. I will literally never, ever forget the first time that I heard her. It was like in the lunchroom. I was in high school, and everyone was like playing it, and they were referring to her as just Taylor, not Taylor Swift, just Taylor. And I went to high school in a new town. So like, I moved to Richmond, Virginia as a freshman in high school. So like, I was not from there. And the way that everyone was just like referring to her as Taylor and making it sound like she was their friend, I was like, oh, this must be like some girl who's like from this town and made an album, and that's why everyone's like talking like they know her. But no, everyone was just talking like they knew her because they like knew how to speak, like she knew how to speak to their soul. So like, that was the first time that I ever learned who Taylor Swift was. And like, her discography has basically like matched my like where I am in my life. Like, every major milestone has kind of like matched up with like a Taylor Swift album. So like, I was like in high school, like meeting my first boyfriend during debut. I like fell in love for the first time when Fearless came out. Like, Love Story like spoke to my soul. I was a freshman in college when Speak Now came out, and like Long Live was like, I mean, that was like the moment, right? It was like, how do we capture this magic and make it last forever, right? So like, that was all of that. 1989 came out when I, of course, that was like Taylor's Welcome to New York album, but I moved to LA. So I like moved across the country to LA, and I was getting over a breakup. The first Taylor Swift song that ever made me weep was Clean, because I listened to it for the very first time in my office, by the way, and I was crying at my desk. Uh-huh. I had to remove myself. So like, just all of these like moments matched up. The Lover album came out the year that I got married. Like, she's just like, she's kind of, I've been like one step behind her, I guess.
Yeah,
like, and in terms of her,
we should put a note in there that your wedding was like Taylor Swift themed. It was amazing.
I remember the first song
that came out when we all got on the dance floor was Me. And to all you Me haters out there, we are not one of them. We love Me and we don't care what you think.
Yeah, we don't care, and we don't want to hear it. We don't care about your opinion, and we don't even want to hear it. Me is awesome.
I love that. Yeah, and I feel like when I heard that story from you before, it kind of made sense. Like when you talk about like her, you growing up with her discography, like that, I think that's what's made the re-recording project so interesting and kind of complex. And like we have a lot of weird thoughts about it because like we're not that age anymore, where we've grown up, and so it's hard to kind of go back to Speak Now TV and re-feel all those things we felt when it first came out, because you know we're grown ass adults now. Like we don't have those feelings.
Okay, Mac, you're
right.
Relationship with Taylor,
similar to you, I first heard her, like I heard Tim McGraw. I was in my car in my little Midwest town driving to my job at McDonald's, and I heard the song, and I just thought, wow, this is the first time I've ever heard anything like this. Like, this is unique. This is really cool. She's name checking Tim McGraw. I like Tim McGraw. Gee, I wonder if some girl would sing that about me someday. So I just like was into it from the beginning, and I didn't buy the album. Like her debut album, I didn't go buy it. I heard the singles on the radio, and I'm like, yep, I like all those. This is fun. And then when Fearless came out, I actually didn't go buy the album when it first came out either. My little sister had gotten it for Christmas, and then she played it, and I was like, wow, like this is much better than the last one I heard, and also like, she's going to get famous off this. And yeah, I knew like Love Story was already out there, and I knew that was like popular. But when I heard You Belong With Me, I was like, oh wow, I'm committed. This is for real.
Yes. Yeah. And remember she like, and then she did like a Colby Calais collab. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No. And I remember coming back home for, it was either Christmas or I was in college, right? So I was either coming home from Christmas or Thanksgiving break, and the Thug Story video dropped. And I remember thinking that this is the funniest shit I've ever seen. Like what? She's baking caramel delights. Like that was a funny ass line. And so then, you know, obviously the VMA event happened, and like I was actually watching the VMAs with my college like friends, and we were like, whoa, this is crazy. And then when Speak Now dropped, I bought the CD. I was at that point, I'm like, I'm a committed fan. I want to listen to this. And this is where I think that's like, if you were with Taylor for the first three albums and you were a fan of all three, you're at that point, you're just kind of committed. You know, you're not like you're not questioning your fandom ever again. Like you're going into Red and you're buying that shit, whether it's good or not. And just like, you're just a stan at that point. And I want to say I was a normal fan, like a normal, I could like regulate my emotions and not be obsessed with Taylor up until probably Reputation. Reputation's when a little gremlin went off in my brain and said, you must buy all the merch. You must buy all the albums. You must be front row.
Really, even before 1989. Because 1989, like I was like lining up at Target.
I bought the CD for 1989, but like Jackie bought the tour tickets to go see her like live.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't know what, I think because she got canceled and then she was coming back, and I felt really protective of her. And I was just like,
yeah, Taylor Swift is over party. Well, you know, it's so funny because you like Jackie bought the tour tickets, right? And she was like the fan in your life. And then like when I met Adam, every year we were living in LA at the time, every year in LA, he did a Taylor Swift themed bar crawl for his birthday.
I remember that.
Yeah, he called it like, darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a day drink, I think. And it's funny how they were both kind of like the standout fans, but I just think things got like really dark and deep for you and me.
Yeah, mental illness really sunk in. And I Did you know that Jackie went to the Speak Now tour? Like, she went to Speak Now. Like, Jackie actually was a fan. She just, we all never knew it. Like,
well, Jackie is like, she, which kind of leads us to why we're here, is like, Jackie and Adam are fans of Taylor Swift. They love her music. They've been with her since the beginning. Like, they have a connection to her. They get excited for the new albums. But we, you and I have been in like a really like deep, dark spiral since I would say March. We're recording this in July 2023. And since March, you and I have been like how we've been describing it as like all too unwell. Just like we are like tuning into live streams every Friday, Saturday, Sunday when there is a Sunday show. Like we are zeroed in like on the second that Taylor Swift news breaks, and like we can't rip ourselves away from it. Like I described it to you this week as like the Regina George thing. Like 50% of the time I'm talking about Taylor Swift, and then the other 50% of the time I'm just praying somebody brings her up so that I can talk about her more. It's that kind of like obsessive, like really toxic hold that she has on us. And we've been talking about doing a podcast forever, but we like really realized that like this is like really where we can step in and we can talk about like what it, like the trials and tribulations of being a Swiftie.
Yeah. And my prayer for my marriage and for my friends is that this outlet gets it out of my system. So when I leave the podcast room, I go back in the house and I'm a normal human being again. And I don't talk about Taylor Swift.
It's going to be like therapy, right? Like when something comes up during the week, sometimes it'll be like, oh, okay, that's like weird, but I'm going to kind of like save that for therapy. Now it's like, oh, something Taylor pops up. Okay, I'm going to save that for the pod.
Oh, yes. It's going to be we're on a journey. So that's why we're here. And I think that kind of makes, that's why our podcast name is Look What She Made Us Do. Like, mm-hmm. You know, she's made us unwell. She's made us insane. She's made me spend money. Like, Taylor has made us do things that it's not just us. There's a whole community of deranged Swifties out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And we really need a place that's like not TikTok to come together.
No, because we're millennials. We're too old for that shit. Like, and I would get canceled if I was on TikTok. So I just feel like this is a safer space for me.
Well, like one time, so I have like 4 followers on TikTok because, again, I'm a millennial. and the only thing that I do is like follow Taylor Swift TikTok trends. Like, those are the only videos that I post. And one time I posted a video where I had to do like a bracket, I guess it was during March Madness, and like pick the Taylor Swift albums. And I was like very, very surprised by my ending album. Like, I ended up with my top album being Fearless, which if you were to like ask me that, I don't think I would have said that. So I was like really surprised. And then like Swifties came for me in the comments. Like, the fact that you would ever pick Fearless over Speak Now is unreal. Like, and it was scary.
Welcome back, Swifties.
I'm Max.
And I'm Sarah.
And we have 2 very special guests today.
Yes. You could say that they are Max and I invisible string. They are 'tis the damn reason for the season.
They're my muse, my mirror, my wall, whatever the phrase is. Jackie, my wife. Say hi.
Hello. So excited to be here. The infamous pod I've heard so much about and I have not heard anything about, actually. So really happy to be here today.
As a point of clarification, we have not posted our episodes yet.
No.
And it's October 15th.
It's going to happen soon, I hear.
Okay, next.
Okay, and then we have my husband, Adam.
And as somebody who is married to a podcaster, often hears podcasts from the other room, but has not yet heard this one posted online.
Wow. Mm. You guys are really rude. We're just excited to get this, you know, live and ready to rock.
Now,
Taylor would have released like 10 albums already.
That's fine. So today's episode is all about 1989, Taylor's version. But before we get there, we want to talk about Adam and Jackie. So, Adam, how did you meet Jackie?
I met Jackie in college. We had a great mutual friend, shout out to Lindsay Moore, who decided to introduce us. Not because that she thought we'd be great friends, but because we were both moving to the Los Angeles area. I say area because Jackie was not moving to Los Angeles.
She thought
she was moving close.
Southern California, LA, it's all the same.
Now, where did you move?
We moved to Carson, California.
Hermosa Beach was nearby.
It was not nearby. Do not listen to her.
Is it in LA County?
Yes. It was in LA County.
Okay.
How close to an IKEA were you?
I would say approximately 250 feet.
Which means it was a prime real estate location.
Give or take.
So it was best friends at first sight. Jackie, what was it about Adam that made you say, I'm his friend for life?
Great question. We lived together for 6 months in LA.
No, you didn't.
And stop saying that.
I don't know. It's like right out of college, you're like big girl job. It's like a very big transitional time. And Adam like made me feel like safe and not scared and like, okay, new city, new job, new life. Like we're ready to do this. And I don't know, it was way less scary with Adam by my side. So that's besties for life.
I think I became friends with Jackie when she decided that she wanted to open her door to let the air conditioning out of her room. Because in the landlocked apartment that we were in, there was one air conditioning unit, and it was in her bedroom.
It worked really well in my bedroom.
And I left before Jackie, and I got home after Jackie, and I never saw that door open until about 4 months into our friendship.
You're welcome.
It was beautiful.
I could have just kept
thing.
It all to myself, but I thought
you could
maybe
have,
I'll
you
open
didn't.
The door.
She gave you a fan.
She did. It wasn't a Honeywell fan, the company that she was hired by, but it was a Vortex fan, and it worked for a while.
Hey, I did what I could. No. I don't know.
Okay, so that's how you two got to know each other. I met Adam in Phoenix on the Salt River.
R.I.P.
Yeah, honestly.
So for those who don't know, the Salt River is a place you go tubing and you lose limbs, life, soul, parts of your body. You go on this river, you don't come back the same person. So I met Adam on the river. We blacked out. We lost our friend. We didn't know this person. We called him a friend. He's fine. He's okay. It was Father's Day. It was Sarah.
Great answers.
How did you meet Jackie?
I met Jackie the same day I met you. Mm-hmm. So I was the last one in the group. I met Adam in real Los Angeles. What does that even mean? And then we started dating, and then very early on in our relationship, you two were moving from Phoenix back to San Francisco, where Jackie's from, and you stopped in Culver City, where Adam was living at the time, on the way, and I was terrified to meet you two because I knew that you were like the two most important people in Adam's life. Aww. And I was like so anxious about it, but there was nothing to worry about.
What a weird place to stop. Like, is there not a direct place to go to from Phoenix?
No, we wanted
Francisco?
To see
they
you
wanted
Adam.
To
I mean,
see
I'm Adam, you were our best
it was
friend.
A purposeful stop.
anybody
out
who
of our way, some might say, to see you. That's
anybody
crazy,
who knows
know.
Me knows how practical I am, and I want the most like direct.
We love a good Culver City hangout. We got to see you guys, and then we went to breakfast, and it was really nice. And we met Sarah. That was the moment we needed.
Sarah. Oh, boy.
Any response?
Adam, any comment?
No rebuttal.
No comment?
No rebuttal.
So your wedding.
Yeah.
Magical. Wonderful. We've talked about this on the pod before, but I remember your wedding as everyone coming out to me, exclamation point, the best song.
Yeah, like we came into the reception and me had just come out. So the only songs from Lover that were out were Me and You Need to Calm Down. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Lover hadn't
Come out yet.
So
like our, and we loved Me. So, like, everyone, like, we started the night before we even
I still
danced.
Love me, and I feel like I'm on an island in that situation.
Correct.
Spelling is fun.
Spelling is fun.
And so everyone danced, and it really set the tone for the whole night. And okay. I'm a nightmare dressed like a day drink.
That's cute.
Yeah, you did those 1989 like party tour things.
Yeah, I got all my hot friends together, and we would do bar crawls.
Did you just say my Santa hot Monica. Friends?
Yeah, across Santa Monica. All right.
Nice,
Jackie. When did you first meet the world of Taylor Swift?
Meet Taylor. Haven't yet. So I did go to Speak Now live concert at Penn State.
Can we stop there?
Yeah.
Jackie went to Speak Now.
So basically I was OG and you guys like hadn't even seen her live yet. So I don't know. I guess I'm the number one fan here.
Everyone went to that, but everyone said that it was bad.
It was just, I didn't really know her music, to be honest. Like my roommate Hope was like, oh, I'm going to go to this. And I'm like, that sounds fun. We're in college. It's crazy. And then we like went to a concert and I was like, okay. I literally was like, whatever. So honestly, I barely even remember going to it. Mac had to remind me like, weren't you at this? I was like, oh yeah, I think I went to that. So then it really wasn't until senior year, Red was amazing, but I remember specifically I was in Phoenix and I was driving and Red came on the radio and really listened to the lyrics and I don't know, I was in like that headspace of just like, this is a life-changing song, this is amazing, she's using colors to explain feelings, and I was like really into it, and that's when I'm like, whoa, Taylor Swift is awesome.
I was surprised that Jackie was driving a car, but
it was scary, terrifying, to be honest.
More so than that, I do think that Red, and we will get into 1989 a little bit more, but I think that that's really what accelerated, like, that was, like, the exponent, that was the graph, exponential,
yes,
like,
yeah.
But Red upward. Was so unappreciated for its time.
And, yeah.
Red, the album, amazing.
Red, the album, didn't turn into what it is until... after 1989.
I want to say what it Red is today. TV. Red TV made Red what it
no,
is.
No, mm-mm, no, no. I disagree.
Because she was still in the country genre only. I mean, it was really country still. And a lot of people just weren't listening to that yet. So then 1989, and was like, oh, wow. Now what else was she saying?
1989 like, was the... I am making pop what it is right now. I still think that Red was pop. I still think that even like a lot of Speak Now was pop. But I think that 1989 was the...
It was
the I guess you could say the second song, but really the opener of it all.
If Cruel Summer was the era.
Lover as the era got so boring.
Well, stop
Lover
it.
The
Y'all
song
are wrong.
Is not good.
And then Archer...
The Archer?
Honestly, the man... I was really disappointed by the Lover era.
I think that Mr. Americana and the Heartbreak Prince and Cruel Summer... I think we need to talk about 1989.
Not yet.
Okay.
So we should just a little round table on Taylor current events.
Okay, so who's pro Taylor and Travis? I.
Okay. I'm like not over her like breakup. I just thought it was so sad.
Okay, here's Joe is so boring.
Yeah, no, I didn't like him at all, but I just thought the Lover album and then like the documentary, she's like singing like I love you. I just like there were so many sweet little moments of them, and then this is so publicized that I feel like it could be fake.
So here's what I think about it.
Wow.
I don't believe that it's fake, but where I think that it was born out of the rumor mill. Like, I think that everyone was talking about the alleged whatever, and they were like, all right, let's come up with something to talk about. And I think that they probably, like, have really, like, cool sex.
She had
tiny little, like, gremlin Joe Alwyn that, like, lived in a cave underground. And now she has, like, this, like, hot, beefy football player that can, like, lift her up probably because she's so tall and, like, large.
Whatever weird fantasy you have, yeah. You can put to bed.
I think... Joe's insecurities must be through the roof right now.
Yeah.
Joe probably needs help.
You're losing me. He knew. It was all coming.
I don't think everybody's giving... Everybody keeps saying that Joe put her, like, in a cave. There was a global pandemic.
No.
A global pandemic.
Don't put her in the basement. Dare. He did not let her
the
be.
The two people who voted
Jordan.
How much they love this relationship
don't
is
put
trying
me in the
to shout us
when
down
I want the penthouse of your
when
heart.
They invite us on their podcast is what I'm
saying.
Is
literally about Joe.
The two people who are invited have a different of difference of opinion with the host.
We're going to
they're being shouted down.
Right. Don't you talk about my wife like that.
Here's my thing. I'm totally over Joe. I just thought it was really like cute and nice that it, how like secret. It felt very private, and Taylor has been pretty private. I mean, okay, obviously her songs are about all her exes, but like while it's happening, you're not like it's just so much. And here's the other thing: I don't search Taylor Swift. I'm not trying to find. I cannot escape the like Chiefs, Kansas City, red orange jerseys, and I'm very annoyed. I'm just like I don't
it
care.
Just, like,
I don't care.
It just like I can't explain how much it doesn't bother me. And
I was peak happy, Adam.
The
I want to see it again.
People on this podcast today, maybe except for with the exception of Jackie, have never loved 1989 the way I have loved 1989. I have been ridiculed for how much I've liked 1989. Style, Blank Space have always had a place in my top five, and I have been ridiculed. And now, suddenly, that 1989 Taylor's version is coming out. I cannot escape Sarah saying how nobody here is ready for this album to be released. I have not slept since the day that she has announced that this album is being released. And I have lived on an island in my own life, in my own house, amongst my own family. That I have loved this album since the day it came out, and to have two people near and dear to me drag me down until the last month and gaslight me that this has been their favorite album. Both of them have said that it's in their top three is enough to make a man cry.
Adam, I totally regret giving you the microphone. What the fuck?
That was the most honest truth we've ever heard.
That has been 4 years bottled up.
Okay, so are your turn.
I welcome a retort.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure how to respond. I don't even know that we can call it a rampage, the spilling of your guts, perhaps. I did say that if you had asked me 2 months ago what my top three albums were, I would not have said 1989. No, I literally said that. I said that like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Super dramatic.
Oh.
I don't know if I added enough drama before that.
I wouldn't have said 1989. And I think it's because that since 1989, like, was the moment. Like, it was everything, like, clean. I know. I'm talking about OG, though, for a second. Clean actually changed my life, like, in a really, really positive way. And, like, 1989 was everything to me when it was the moment. Now, I've said it on this podcast. I've said it to literally every single person that I know. I've said it at work. I've said it at school. I've said it at play. I grew up, like, I have followed Taylor. Like, I've been one step kind of behind Taylor at, like, all moments in my life. Like, with 15 coming out, like, when I was in high school and I was, like, dating a boy older than me. And, like, Lover came out the year that I got married, and Red came out like when I lost my virginity too. So like I've just kind of been like behind like Taylor like every step of the way, and so with that I have also grown with her album. So like that means that like the lyrics that come out of like Evermore and Folklore and Midnights and all that like do feel incredibly meaningful to me because I feel like I'm right there with her at the time. Okay, that all said. The return of 1989 TV, 1989 is more than an album to me. It is a mindset. And it is the best one.
It's a lifestyle. And it's a moment.
It's a mindset. And it's the best one of Taylor's. And it's so exciting that it's coming back. And, like, Adam is right. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Just just one more thing to say. All I can think about is Harry Styles' voice.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Singing. He's not coming.
Midnight. And, like, I can't think of it. Okay, so
You haven't been very clear.
I didn't say that it wouldn't have been a part of my life. I said it wouldn't have been in my top three. Because what has happened is, like, 1989 was everything to me in the moment. And then Reputation was everything to me in the moment. And then Evermore. And then Folklore.
So you're saying you're a slave to the present.
1989 TV is now in my top three in this current moment because to me 1989 is more than an album. It is a mindset. It is a lifestyle. Does that like clear it up?
I want to say, but like everyone was a Swiftie in 1989. Like you couldn't listen to that and be like, this is all right. It was just so iconic. And it was on the radio. You couldn't escape the songs, but you didn't want to escape the songs. Like I'd always turn it up. I'd be like, oh great. Welcome to New York's on again. Oh great. Like every song that was just a hit after hit. And I own the CD and my old Jeep, like, I didn't really put Spotify on, didn't really care back then, and I just listened to that CD over and over and over. So, like, who needed to listen to anything else? So, yeah, it was, like, an obsession beyond, I mean, I wish that was, like, my top played Spotify playlist at the end, if you could say the CD, how many times I've listened to all those songs, so... TV will be cool, and actually the vaults are going to be epic. I mean, for her to announce that, like, the five new ones, she's like, I can't believe we, like, didn't have these. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be crazy.
Adam literally jumped to the microphone.
There's only one right answer.
Yeah.
Jackie, best song on 1989, go.
It's, like, so hard.
You have to have an answer.
So, current me, like, after all the concerts... Bad Blood is really high. But this never would have been the answer when 1989 came out. I was, like, so not that into it.
She wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, you guys really, it was too memorable for you at the concert.
Yeah, mine is Bad Blood Philly Night 1, Night 2 remix.
Epic. Yeah, I think, like, when it came out, though, like, Blank Space and Welcome to New York, I love
those. But now, for now. Jackie in 2020.
I'm actually still really excited about Welcome to New York. I love that song.
We're going to skip you one more time.
Yeah, Adam's going to go last. Mine would be Blank Space. The reason being is that it was the very first time that Taylor, like, she pulled the curtain back. Like, she was actually talking directly at us. I'm in on the joke.
Yeah, that was cute.
It set the tone for who Taylor would be for the rest of her career.
So that's the biggest song right now, in your truth. In the year 2023.
Always. And in the year 2014.
Always. I love it. I think it's really great.
There's nothing like those first, like, two notes.
Yeah.
When they hit.
I'm going to say this because I know Adam will say it. And I'm sorry, Adam. You are the original... Adam, you get credit for this. You are the original thought master.
Thank you.
But I was radicalized by style at the airport. I'm a changed man. I'm a changed man. I can't see, I can't hear Take Me Home and not think of, like, that moment style.
The revolution will be podcasted.
Style. I actually did not like 1989 until I saw the Eras Tour style. That's it.
Wow. Style. Whoa.
Okay, your turn, Adam.
Style.
Adam, why are you leaving?
Have you been on a podcast?
If it must be said, then let it be said.
Oh, I mean, God. Adam was the OG style. He knew style was...
He was amazing. The only one shipping style.
The four of us got into a screaming match about style not very long ago, a couple years back.
It was a while ago now.
I know, this is the first time Pod's ever heard of
this. We talk about it literally every single episode. I always have loved style. Like, it's not that I thought style was a bad song. It's not that I didn't like it. No, I listen to it all the time. But I am looking at this from a whole, and I'm sorry. Style is the worst music video Taylor Swift has ever done.
Nobody cares about the music video.
Yeah.
Take me home.
People care.
Take me home.
People care.
I mean, okay. Yeah. If that's how you're going to judge the body of a song, then that's a terrible
way to judge. I just thought that Blank Space is like.
Blank Space is a great song. Nobody's taking away from Blank Space. Nobody's taking away from the music. The Blank Space music video set the standard. 100%. Of all Taylor Swift music videos, 100%. And it's still her best, and it will always be her best.
100%. Look what you made me do.
No.
Matt. No.
Girls.
Bestie.
No.
Look Matt, what you made me do.
No. Bestie. Matt,
no.
It's Blank Space. But Adam, in the same way that you're saying no one's taking away from Blank Space, it's still a great song, is the exact same way I feel about Style. Like I think that Blank Space is the best song on that album. I still love Style.
Great. Nobody's. I'm not upset that you said Blank Space.
You wore that night at Gots. You wore a vest.
That vest looked interesting.
I'm sorry. What vest?
Yeah.
It's a V-girl's cool.
My one.
It was a rule that day I wore a vest.
The more that I listen to Blank Space, I think it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's one thing that's changed over the more music that comes out from her. It's just like a lot. Yeah, there's just a lot of pauses. You're really like waiting to get to the next lyrics. I don't know. It feels very slow. I agree.
Style is just like, da na 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 na.
Yeah, it's more catchy. Blank Space is it's incredible that she wrote that. It's so awesome. And now I think it's a slow song. And it's too slow.
It is slow. It's actually like a slow dance.
But yeah, do you
that's
like,
why I'm Glendale. I got
to the mic. I'm having a lot of thoughts on this. Please lead it into the mic.
It's one thing to like Taylor Swift. It's another to be so overly addicted, obsessed that she's taking all of your extra income, any bonus you get, going straight to a concert, merch, don't even blink an eye, you just purchase it. Like, it's an addiction. I'm like, okay, we have to get this. We've got to get it under wraps. And the worst part is that Taylor is such a genius that you can't get it under wraps. It's like you avoid going to the bar, you avoid seeing alcohol. You can't avoid Taylor Swift, whether you want to or not. And then she starts seeing Travis Kelce, and it's like, oh, I literally thought the concert was ending. She left America. No. Have I ever not seen Taylor Swift on my phone for 5 milliseconds? No, I can't escape her. You're a genius artist. Whether I want you to be in my life or not, you're in it.
Jackie, I do think that something that could be really special for everyone to hear is your mindset when Mac bought 10 front row tickets to the Reputation tour.
Six. Here's the frustrating thing, Sarah. If he had bought 10 Eras Tours tickets, we would have made thousands of dollars. Because we were ahead of our time and he was a Swiftie before Swifties were cool, and actually it was the era where Swifties weren't cool, correct. We made no money, we lost money, but you know what? Our friendship grew tighter that day.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard, and if you did, I encourage you to like and subscribe. Maybe leave a little review. Perhaps you could even share the episode with your friend. We'd like to give a special thank you to Jack McCarthy for producing our music and recording our intro. You can find more information about his work at the link in our episode description. We'll see you next time on Look What She Made Us Do.